All right. Well, good morning. Good to see everyone today. And we're in a study of the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is listed in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and today, goodness. Goodness. Now, we use this word goodness very, very loosely today, kind of like we do our word love. You know, we'll say things like, he was a good man, or that was some good food, or that was a good movie. She is a good singer. That was a good try. And about Ohio State, that is a good team. That's a good team. Now, we use this word, as I said, very, very loosely. And Jesus comes along and says, do not use this word loosely. So he's in a conversation in Matthew chapter 19. This is the rich young ruler. It says, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, notice, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And so Jesus says, do not use this word loosely. Because there's no one good but God. Now, we often will say he was a good man. I don't know how many funerals I've done, and I said, you know, Joe was a good man. And I believe that as a believer in Christ, one in whom the Spirit is dwelling and producing the fruit of goodness, we can say to a believer, yeah, he's good. He's good. Only because he receives the goodness of God. It's not his goodness. It's not my goodness. It's not your goodness. It's his goodness. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of Ray. It's the fruit of the Spirit. He produces goodness in my life, and that's the only reason there's any goodness in my life. He is my goodness. So I think what Jesus is saying here, he's not saying, hey, I'm not God. Don't call me good. I think he's saying to the rich young ruler, understand when you use this term what you're saying. Because if you use the term good, then you must mean I'm God. Because God is the only one who is truly good. You see, man is not good. The Bible's clear on this. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Or verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so if you take all of our righteousness, man's righteousness, bundle it all together, put it in a great big pile, and this is what God says. But we are all like unclean things, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So, that's what God says about our righteousness. All our righteousness are filthy rags. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. If left to our own, we will most often choose the darkness over the light. That's just what humans do. Because humans are not in and of themselves good. You see, man doesn't need to be more nice. Man needs a new birth. That's what he needs. He needs to be born again so the Spirit of God can live in him or her and change them so that they will be good. That's what we want. And so God is good. And all through the Bible, God is proclaimed good. You look at, I mean, there's dozens of psalms that say God is good repeatedly. And so we know God is good. Man is not. Now, it is interesting because There are 90 names listed in the book of Acts. At least that's what I've seen. This seems to be the number that most people come up with. 90 names in the book of Acts. And of those 90 names, only one is said to be good. Do you know who it is? Yeah, you probably do. It's Barnabas. Barnabas. In Acts chapter 11, verse 24, it says Barnabas was a good man. He was good. And so what is goodness? Well, goodness is uprightness of heart and mind. Uprightness of heart and mind. And so I just thought one of the greatest texts we could go to talk about goodness and what it means to be good is in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And notice, says, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And so he says, the Lord has shown you what's good. So what's good, Micah? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's good. So let's just unpack that a little bit today. Number one, he tells us if we want to do good, then we need to do justly. Now that word that is translated justly there, the Hebrew word is the word mishpat. Mishpat. And it's translated righteousness at times, although tzaddik is the word usually translated righteousness. But it's translated justice and justly here. And so notice that if we're going to do good, we can't just think about what's just. We can't just meditate on what's just. He says we have to do what's just. We have to do what is just. Now this word is associated quite a bit in the Old Testament with orphans and widows and the poor. And so what God wants is He wants us to care for widows. And for orphans, and for those who are in need, the poor. And so we're talking about the most vulnerable group in society. The group that can do least for themselves. Widows, orphans, and the poor. To do justly is to take care of them. This is what God wants for His people. He does not want these people overlooked. And when you read the Bible, quite often, widows are taken advantage of. Orphans are taken advantage of. The poor are taken advantage of. There are a lot of verses that tell us to care for the poor, for widows and orphans. James 1:27, a verse all of us are familiar with, says, Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Or Psalm 68:5, A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His dwelling. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18, He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow. He loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take care of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. And I could go on and on and on with numerous verses that tell us that God's heart is for widows, that God's heart is for orphans, that God's heart is for poor people. And to do justly is to care for them. It is to take care of them. It is to provide for them. That's what it means to do justly, to do justly. And I also believe that the word integrity can be slipped in here. Integrity. We're supposed to be a people of integrity. And people who have integrity do what is right. That's what they do. And so what do you do when you're all alone and no one is looking? When you're on the computer and you're alone, what do? When you're out of town on a business meeting of some kind and you're alone in a hotel room, what do you do? Do you do justly? Are you a man, a woman of integrity, and you do the right thing? Because this is what God wants us to do. If we're going to be good, being just is part of being good. He wants us to be just and to do justice. Not just think about it. Not just contemplate it. To do it. But secondly, he says, we're to love mercy. To love mercy. And the word that is translated mercy there is the word chesed. And that is the most beautiful word in the Old Testament, because the Old Testament word for grace, it is used in reference to God. It's translated quite often, loving kindness. This is God. He's a merciful God. And God wants us to give others the mercy that you want from God. And so when you go to God and say, God, I blew it. I blew it today. I sinned. I didn't do right. I sinned against you. And you seek God's forgiveness and you ask God to forgive you. What you want is you want mercy. You want mercy. You want God to forgive you. Well, if you want God to forgive you, then you need to also forgive those that wrong you and do wrong against you. Because if you're seeking the mercy of God, then you should extend the mercy of God. It's not right for us to receive it from God and then hold it all to ourselves. Right? We're not supposed to do this. In Matthew chapter 9, look over there real quick, Matthew 9. In Matthew chapter 9, he's dealing with the tax collector Matthew. In verse 12, it says, and when Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Now notice verse 13. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, Jesus is not saying here that God was not interested in sacrifice. If you remember, God set up the whole sacrificial system in the law, right? They offered thousands and thousands and thousands of sacrifices through the year. God wanted the people's sacrifice. But what he didn't want was heartless sacrifice. He didn't want sacrifice that didn't involve mercy. And so mercy's important. And so it matters where your heart is. You can't just come before God and just lump a sacrifice on the altar and go away thinking, I did a good job. No, you have to do justly. You have to love mercy. And you have to walk humbly with God, which is the next point we'll get to in a minute. But the point is that our heart needs to be right with God. We can't just offer heartless sacrifice. It involves being just. It involves loving mercy. You know, some people, when they're wrong, man, they just want their pound of flesh. They don't know anything about mercy, anything about grace. They want to get even, right? Or they just want to stick it to this person. Because that's the way some people are, but that's not the way we're supposed to be. God is changing us. He is transforming us. He's molding us, making us into the people that He wants us to be. He wants us to be a people who are good. Good. Well, good people show mercy. That's what good people do. They love people. They want to help people because they're merciful. Those who are down on their luck, they help them. But then number three, if you want to do good, you want to be good, you got to walk humbly with your God. And this is important. There's a couple of verses I want you to look at. One is in James chapter 4. And look at verse 7. James 4, verse 7. He says, therefore, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, back up, verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, notice that. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. In 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. He says, and we can back up actually to verse 5 and 6. Let's do 5 and 6. He says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves. He says, therefore, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, and all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. All through the Bible, we're told that pride is a bad thing. And pride is a bad thing. What God wants in his people is humility. And God wants us to walk before him with humility. What does it mean to walk before God with humility? Well, I think it means that you walk in submission. That you're obedient to what he wants you to do. When you open the Bible and you read it, and God says, for example, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, you do that. You do that because you submit yourself. You're walking humbly with God. You're going to be submissive. You're going to do what God wants you to do. It means you're obedient. Means you're obedient to God. The great example that we have of this in the New Testament is the example of Christ over in the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 2, he speaks of the humility of Christ. And he says in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now just prior to verse 5, he's talking about us being humble, walking in humility and lowliness of mind. And then he says, what I mean is have the mind of Jesus, have his mind. His mind was 2,000 years ago, he left heaven. And why did he leave heaven? For others. Why did he come to earth? Others. Why did he suffer? Others. Why was he flogged? Others. Why was he placed on the cross? Others. He did all that for others. He came to give his life. He came to die. And so he came in humble submission to God. He did exactly what the Father wanted him to do. He humbly submitted to God's will, carried out God's will, and as a consequence, God raised him up to the highest possible position. He's been elevated to a name that's above every name. And so God wants us to walk with Him in humility. That means that we trust Him. It means that we believe He's going to take care of us. And this is important because so often we act like God can't do it. You know, if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. No, God can do whatever it is He wants to do. And God will do. We just have to believe and trust Him and walk with Him in willful, loving obedience to His will. That's what God wants for His people. Not to be a proud people. Not to think we're in charge and we run the world and we run our own lives, because we don't. God is in control. He runs our lives, or at least He's supposed to run our lives. Some of us want to run it for Him. Well, that's not being humble. That's actually being prideful. God knows best. Trust Him. Walk with Him. And it'll be the greatest walk you'll ever have in your life. And so if you want to do good, if you want to be good, because how do we define that, right? What's good? What's good? As we started out, all kinds of things are good to us, right? So if we want to be good, truly be good, then we need to do justly. We need to love mercy. Not just extend it. Love it. Love it. Love mercy. And then number three, we need to walk humbly with our God. If we do those three things, we know that we're doing what is good. What is good. This is the practice of goodness. And maybe today you see a need to change your life, to do things differently. Maybe you haven't been doing justly. Maybe you don't love mercy. You love a pound of flesh instead. Maybe you haven't been walking humbly with God. You have an opportunity to change that. You have an opportunity today to repent of that and to say, I'm going to do better. I'm going to begin doing justly. I'm going to begin to love mercy, and I'm going to walk humbly with my God. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to be submissive to Him and His will, whatever that is in my life. And this morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel, you've never come to Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, because goodness begins here. There is no goodness if you're not a Christian. You may do good things, but you're not good. You're not good. God will come inside of you, and He will make you good. He will give you His Holy Spirit, and He'll grow that fruit in your life, and part of that fruit is goodness. He wants to grow it in your life. And so if you need to respond to the gospel, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing.